are you? Once you answer that question, it determines what you feed on. We always win. We have already won. We are appropriating our victory. And that's what I'm asking. Who are you? Are you a survivor or a savior? We have entered the age of the governing church. A church that feeds on the diet of saviors. Our native weapon is prayer. Up there with fasting. When your coast is too small, the scriptural accredited response is a fight.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let's continue our teaching. This is total immersion. Amen. Are you enjoying yourself? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we say faith is a way of exploit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. That's where we stop. We said if you are truly walking with God, there are different seasons He will tell you to walk on water. And if you are not hearing that instruction, listen closely. He's been talking. Amen. And we also say that it's impossible to fulfill your destiny on the earth without seasons of quantum leaps. And those seasons of quantum leaps would demand instructions to walk on water. That means you do things you've not done before. Walking on water means stepping out to things that can sink you, but you are walking through it. Do you understand? And the hand of the Lord will carry you through. Yes. Ask anybody who has done anything big. That's how it works. You step out like, to say, when we went on television, it was as though, after these 3 months, where is the money to pay more? We have been on TV for 3 years. Amen. Amen. The same thing when we went on radio. That's years ago. Went on radio 6 years ago. 3 stations the next year or so. Are you here? Much younger. But you see, when you step out like that, God honors His word. He honors His word. Remember the first time going out for the outpouring? I mean, that was like walking on water. Amen. You know, we're just this hall, and okay, I think we're using overflow hall then. And then we're going to a big tent that can see 2,000 people. How is it going to get filled? Who will come? They don't know us in jaws. That's years, almost 3 years now. And boom, we're there. By the next day we came, there were people outside. You know, I stood there, and you know what I honestly said? I said, is the tent reducing size? There's always a first time. When you do it the first time, it becomes your new normal. Listen, taking this gospel to the nations is going to require bold people who will say, Kai, we need to make money for this gospel to be preached. When will I start dropping 10 million, 20 million, 50 million? Not this 100,000, 20. When will I? And then for the sake, like David would say, is there not a cause? That means that thinking that puts the gospel first will push you to walk on water in the area of finance and business. But when you're just thinking, okay, money for vacation, it may take time to make. But when you are saying, kai, Abba, we need to build now. Glory zone. We need to do this. We need to do this. I want to drop this. And it's burning in your heart as fire. You will step out. So it's going to take courage and boldness to do big things with God in this end time. If not, Satan will tie you to one place for too long. Amen. The beautiful thing is God honors boldness. Oh, He honors boldness. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 3. I say God honors boldness. They can't say yes, sir. I say God honors boldness. You have to talk. This is how this thing flows. You have to respond. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it, what is the it there? Shout it now. Energy. We're young. Is anybody above 60 here? Above 70, sorry. 70 is a young man according to the Bible. So we're all young. Amen. All right. What it? Faith. It says for by. Some people are still not talking. What is the it? Let me digress a little. You see, responding to the word is a major way of receiving. Trust me. Go and read the Psalms of David. Study the life of David, you see that. If I study the scripture, you see that. I told you earlier about God's value on response. to interact with the world, it opens your heart to receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. By it, the elders obtained a good report. How do you obtain a good report? By faith. By faith. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were not made of things which so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. That means the invisible realm always gives birth to things in the material realm, and the method is faith. That's what he's saying. Somebody is seated now by destiny. Maybe you're supposed to own an estate in the next 2 years. Eyes cannot see it yet, but how are you going to bring it down? By faith. That's what he's saying. So that the visible things that are seen are not made of things that can be seen. The invisible material that creates the visible stuff is the word of God, and the medium of creation is faith. Are you here? Jump to verse 32 now. Hallelujah. Faith is how we subdue kingdoms, how we wrought righteousness, etc. Faith is the how, according to the scriptures. And listen, your journey, your earth walk will bring you to places where you must subdue kingdoms. It's compulsory. This is the reason why many people are average. Because every man, for David to get to the throne, he must face Goliath. And if you dodge the Goliath, there's no throne for you. And these Goliaths come in different forms. These Goliaths come in different forms. Are you here? They come in different forms. Challenges, pressing situations, instructions to take down things that look bigger. As you advance, demonic oppositions rising, human oppositions rising. One of our friends in the ministry, okay, prof, wanted to be VC of an institution for university. He has only the qualification. In fact, when he wanted to apply, a cult met him that he should not apply. If he applies, he will die. So, how do you want to practice normal Christianity in that kind of space? He told them that they should watch him apply. So, did you hear that? So, this no longer, if all you did in church, just talk, cup and clap hand, drop offering and go home and hug your wife and husband and say, it's good to serve the Lord. And you have no understanding of the forces of the spirit, of the powers of the kingdom, what we call kingdom power systems. How will you respond in that kind of situation? You go home and be shaking. Or as a Christian, somebody to come and tell you, they say, Baba, you can go and see. And then you have lost your soul. Are you here? This is why there is, for our generation, there is no option for fireful Christianity. It's not optional. There's no option. There's no option. He said, if you apply, you will die. And he says, watch me apply. Of course, he did. And he didn't die. He's still alive. Amen. Glory to God. So you will have to subdue kingdoms if you are to rise. There will be seasons where there's no other way around. You are seeing troops, you have to run through it. You are seeing wall, you have to leap over it. How? Faith. Put on verse 32. He said, for time will fail me talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. Next verse. Who through faith, who to what? Talk to me. Who to what? Faith. Who to what? Faith. Through their human strength, through who they knew in government. No, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Hey! How did they do it? By faith. This is how to subdue kingdoms. This is how to wrought righteousness. This is how to obtain promises. This is how to stop the mouth of lions. He said, to quench the violence of fire. The Bible says, these are the men on whose body the fire had no power. They quench the violence of fire. They escape the edge of the sword. Malakapaya. That means in war, the Lord has delivered you from the power of the sword. That means as you go through life, as you engage in warfare through faith, you can never be a casualty. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Aya, out of weaknesses we're made strong. O Rebakaya. Out of weaknesses. Maybe you are feeling, I'm too weak emotionally. I'm too weak physically. I'm too weak intellectually. Out of weaknesses that we're made strong. How? By faith. By faith. I don't think I'm a bold person. You will come out of that weakness. You will be made strong out of that weakness by faith. That means you can never again be disadvantaged. You can't be disadvantaged. That your village is not on the map is no longer an excuse. True faith. Out of weakness, you can be made strong. That you could not go to the university on time, or in fact, that you could not go to the university at all, will no longer make any difference. True faith. I am told that the man that is building the ark doesn't have a university degree. I'm told. But he's one of the leading construction experts. It's an indigenous company that is building it. Over 100,000 capacity. Largest in the world. A stadium church proper. Amen. I'm here to verify it. But someone who read the resume told me all kinds of things that he grew by listening to the teachings of his pastor, Bishop David Oyedepo. That's how he empowered his mind. And he became a leading voice, a leading expert. But he handles contracts in the Southwest for government and all that. Now, even governors in the North are beginning to look for him, from what I heard. He's the one who is going to handle the ark. He didn't go to university. The word of God renewed his mind. And then suddenly he saw himself in scriptures. That he can lead a generation. And the rest is history. There are those who have PhD who don't have direction as we are talking. And a man. Do you know what it means for you to entrust an indigenous company with that kind of thing? The budget is in millions of dollars. If not up to $1 billion. It's maybe $1 billion. Don't be surprised. It's a crazy budget, crazy project. And Papa say all the money's on ground. They are not raising offering. They are not raising offering. And you are opening your mouth to talk. Let me tell you something. You see, there are things that are not by human strength. Conclude it and rest. No human can arrange that. People are not fools, oh. Let me tell you. Humans without supernatural power cannot get certain things done. Human beings have the ability to run away from gigantic dreams. So is that human effort? No. Now, the faith tabernacle will be the overflow one. Now, before you argue, listen. Before you argue that, see, God's focus in the end time is not allowed to the Torah. Keep quiet. Kishuru koi. Keep quiet. Kishuru, keep quiet. Question, what have you done? What institutions have you built? What organization? What have you... You see, when you build things, and that's okay, I've built things, but this is not what is needed. Then you can talk. What have you built? Even your government cannot do it. When they are building stadium for 20 years, if you give them the money, they will eat it. No leadership capacity. And it will be built in 1 year. Are you here? How can you have that kind of project? You say you are not raising money for it. I think that's normal. There are pipes from heaven that bring the resources. Pipes. That's not normal, though. That's not normal. He said we are building like a bungalow. That's what he said. Bungalow. Bungalow. We're not raising offering. How? The Bible said you know, when Job was talking about the way of wisdom, he said there is a way that the eyes of the vulture has not seen. He said the lion's seed has not trodden on right. There's a path. There's a path. There's a path. That one is not a person. They started almost 5,000 churches, right? 5,000 planted, 5,000 churches. Churches, so not 5,000 people, 5,000 churches. That means you put them on salary, you rent venue, you buy instruments. Mashaka balaya. In 1 year. So when somebody goes on Twitter and is talking rubbish, I feel sorry for the person. I feel sorry for the person. Some of those people, if they put them in one branch, the stress of pastoral work will kill them in 1 month. Not 2 months, but 1 month, they will die for nothing. Pastoring 300 people, they will die. Somebody sits down and receives 300,000 people every Sunday. What is bringing them? You know, Bishop Abiy was preaching the other day. He said his church is in Goshen. That's after, before massacre. That means you have entered Nazarawa. It's not in town. There's a woman who comes from Niger State for service every Sunday. They told her, he said, please find a church. Maybe find another church around there. He said, I would die. My word is in this place. Is that normal? You know, it was Bishop Abiy Ahed said this. In 1999-2000, he was the pastor in Kaduna Living Faith Church, if you remember. Crisis in many churches were relocating. He told himself, he said, this church will double this year. He said, if everybody leaves Kaduna, people will come from Kano, from Zaria, from everywhere. And that was what happened. The church doubled that year. People were traveling from other towns to attend service. Faith! He said, when it was time to move to Goshen, he said, he began to study the ministry of John the Baptist. He said, how did he move people from Jerusalem to the wilderness? I said, Haba, which kind of insight? For months, he said, he will open his Bible and study John the Baptist. And study Jesus, the part that multitude followed him to the wilderness. He said, he wanted to know, how do you move people from the city to the road? Faith. He said, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Lakapatosa. They quenched the mouth of lions. The violence of fire. Waxed valiant in fight. That's the next thing. Out of weaknesses that were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They chased them away. Sit. I know the power of God is on you. Faith! Faith. Faith is our modus operandi. It's the way for exploits. There's no other way. That means you will sit down to build your faith in measure, in a way that is commensurate with the vision God has placed in your heart. You see, faith is like muscle power. That means the load you can lift is dependent on the size of the muscle. That's how faith works. That means the load of vision you can lift. How could somebody sit down and study John the Baptist? Have you ever thought about that kind of thing? He said, you're studying John the Baptist and Jesus. So how did they move? The Bible says Jerusalem went to him into the wilderness by Jordan. Jerusalem went to John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness. The city went to him. So he said, now that I'm moving church to the road, how will people move and come to where I am? Faith. Now you see a young man who is struggling with basic functional faith, insulting a father of faith. You now see why we are angry. Someone that small headache, he said, is there Panadol here? And he thinks he has revelation. Faith. That's the root for expert. Are we together? We're talking about the spirit of faith. So we can go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 4, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll start from 13. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed this morning already? And listen, as I'm talking, the spirit of faith is jumping on you. You know, the spirit of faith is not caught. It's not taught. What we teach is the word of faith. But what comes upon you is the spirit of faith. You will leave, and suddenly those mountains will look like molehills. You will leave the place, and then the things you left behind, you will meet them, and they will look so small. In the name of the Lord Jesus. While your heart would have been enlarged. Suddenly, the load you can carry has increased. Why? The spirit of faith is jumping upon you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians 4 verse 10. It said, we have in the same spirit of faith, Calabaya. You know, there are scripture you read, you want to dance. We have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, he's quoting the psalmist. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That means the spirit of faith is not mute. The spirit of faith is a loud and a bold speaker. That's the first thing we see about the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, the first thing we see actually is believing, conviction, persuasion. It says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Convictions and persuasion, that's the first thing we see. The second thing is speaking. 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 What does the spirit of faith believes? God as the Father. There are five things that rule on the spirit of faith. Number one, sees God as Abba. Number two, fellowships deeply. Number three, speaks boldly. Number four, acts courageously. And number five, rejoices profusely. You can write them down. We'll go through them. What's the spirit of faith? Number one, sees God as Abba. Number two, fellowships deeply. Because fellowship is the mother of faith. Number three, speaks boldly. Number four, the spirit of faith acts courageously. And that's why we have the book of Acts of the Apostles. That's the spirit of faith acting in action. Number five, that spirit rejoices profusely. Are we ready to move? Seeing God as Father, you know, I've referenced that here and there through my teaching, so it's not going to take time. You see, there's something about seeing the Father heart of God. There's really something about it. We have scriptures to read. I hope we're able to read those scriptures. Remember, I taught you, have you ever read Ever Winning Faith? Okay. I taught you about the foundation of an ever-winning faith. Number one, we said, is the fatherhood of God. How many of you remember? Number two is what? The finished works of Christ. Good. Number three, fellowship. Okay, with the Holy Spirit. What's the first thing about our faith has foundation? Our faith has foundation. Our faith has foundation. I like to tell believers that. Our faith is not a leap in the dark. For us, faith is not just acting presumptuously. No. No. 1,000 times no. For us, faith has foundation. So when a Christian say, I'm in faith, there's a foundation. You see, it's similar to what I taught you in priesthood about the oath or promise. Do you understand? So it's very similar. Faith has an oath that is relying on. Faith has a foundation. Okay? Our faith has a basis. Somebody says, when David faced Goliath, he was because he believed in the power of his skill. And I said, you just lied because you didn't read that scripture properly. If you read that scripture properly, you will see where the eyes of David were. You will see what was on his heart. And you see the foundation for his confidence. He didn't attack Goliath because of youthful exuberance. Okay? It wasn't because of his faith in his skill as a slinger. He was skillful. Neither was it youthful exuberance, which is what we call presumption and foolishness. That means he didn't just say, I've killed lion and bear now. Okay. I mean, who I can. No. No, he wasn't youthful exuberant. He didn't just jump out of excitement. There was a basis. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistines? Uncircumcised Philistine. That means he has brought covenant into the equation now. He has brought covenant into the battle. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That means he is without covenant. I have covenant. He brought covenant into the battle. Is something you must do all the days of your life. Learning to think and act with your mind on the covenant. With your mind on God's blessed one oath. If I step out of this boat to walk on water, it's going to carry me. Because God has said, come. Are you here? If I run at this, I'm going to run through. Because he has said, by my God, I run through you. By his help, I leap over the world. So there's a covenant thinking there. He was in confidence in human ability. There was a foundation for his faith. And all through scriptures, there's always a reference point. When Jehoshaphat, back to David, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the army of the living God? He says, today, O Rabakapa, I'll take down your head. I'll feed your carcasses and the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to the best of the air. And the whole world will know today that there is who? There's a God in Israel. You can see the foundation of his faith. He says, the God who delivered the lion and the bear into my hands will make this uncircumcised Philistine like one of them. Can you see that? There's the foundation to his faith. There's the foundation to his faith. Our faith has foundation. The teaching about faith must be given a solid bedrock. And those two things are the solid bedrock of faith. Number one is the fatherhood of God. Understanding the father heart of God. Why can we have faith in the first place? That we have a father. That we have an Abba. The Bible says the spirit of adoption cries, Abba, Father. That we have a father that has brought us into an inheritance. That we have a father who, because, and see, when we talk about the father heart, that is love. Who, because of his love for the world, sent his only begotten son to come and die. And through that death, man has salvation. He's amazing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, there's a picture that religion paints that you must delete from your mind completely from today. And it's the picture of, until Jesus came, there was this fight between man and God. And Jesus was the man of peace who said, you see, Baba is okay. And then, okay, I'll sacrifice myself so that man can be restored to you. You know, unconsciously, that is the religious picture that we have of God. That's the lie from the pit. Jesus, can I say this? God was never in a fight with man. God's goodwill had always been toward man. What happened is the coming of Jesus was the demonstration of that goodwill. What did the angel tell the shepherd? He said, peace. He said, peace. He said, somebody should quote it for me now. Peace and goodwill. No, there's a way. There's a way. He said, Jesus has come. Peace on earth. Peace, salvation. Please read it. Let's look. Who are the Bible scholars? They put it up for me. We have to read it. Search it out for me. It should be either in St. Luke's account or Matthew's account. Let's read it. Are you blessed? Ha! If you don't know God as Father, you'll be unconsciously in works. You can even be anointed yourself. But the problem is the product you raise. Who is there? The shepherds in the field. Mm-hmm. Look where. 2 verse what? 2:14. Okay. All right. Beautiful. Okay. All right. Beautiful. And suddenly there was the angel in multitude. There was the angel in multitude of heavenly hosts. Okay. And praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, what? Peace and goodwill toward men. What is he saying? that this child that has been born is an expression of the Father's goodwill towards men. That means God had been looking for a way to reconcile man to himself. God's heart did not suddenly change. He had always been a father. No, when Adam fell in Genesis, who was running away and who was pursuing? Talk to me. Who was running away? Adam. Who was pursuing him to help? God. But see, that religious picture looks like we're the one pursuing God. No. 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 He has been doing the pursuing from Genesis. Adam ran and hid. Then he went there. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Have you done what I told you not to do? Where are you? He said, Lord, we figured that we're naked. And we ran to hid ourselves. To hide ourselves. And the Lord said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Who told you? That means you are receiving information that is not from me. Who told you were naked? And then they had covered themselves with fig leaves. I know figs itch. Have you tried? Go and cover yourself with fig leaf. Do the experiment. Amen. If you can. Amen. Figs itch. Amen. You see? And that tells you that every of man's attempt to solve his problem will lead to more discomfort. But what did God do? The Bible says he took an animal and wrapped them of the skin of the animal. Who provided the solution first? It was God. So God had always had a father's heart. It wasn't Jesus who changed him. And by the way, Jesus was not present in heaven as a small boy who, when God was running around the throne, and God said, oh, these wicked people, who can go and reconcile me to them? And he said, Angel Michael, can you go? Angel Gabriel, can you go? And then Jesus came and said, Daddy, Daddy, me, I will go. He rubbed his head. He said, oh, good boy. I know. Papilo, I know, say one day you go make us proud. Nonsense. The Bible said Jesus was the Word in the bosom of the Father. He was the Logos of God. He was the Logos of God, meaning he was the governing influence of the universe. He was not invisible. He was the invisible power that held the world together until he was made flesh, until he became flesh. He said, a body has not prepared for me. That means until then, he didn't have a body. He was the Word of the Lord. He was that organizing principle of the cosmos. He was that force that held everything together. He was in the bosom of the Father. He was the Word of the Lord. The angels had not seen him. They had not seen him. They didn't know him. He was in the bosom of the Father until a body was made for him. He says, I'm the Word. The Logos became flesh. I love the Message translation. He says, and the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Until then, he was that Logos. He was the invisible Logos of God. He was. Are you here? I mean, so all the appearances in the Old Testament, it wasn't Jesus. So, amen. It was at best the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So the Father heart of God. You see, when you study Matthew chapter 7, put it up for me. Matthew chapter 7, 7 to 11. Look quickly. You see, truly, Christianity is about the Father and his family. That's what it's about. Nothing more, nothing less. And the Bible is an album of that royal family with a picture of the Father and his sons. I'll never forget hearing Dr. Masumuro say this years ago. It changed my life forever. This year is exactly 20 years, 20 or 21 years, that I read Dr. Masumuro's book, Understanding Your Potential, and my life changed. I cannot forget it. He says the Bible is an album. That's in another message now. An album of a royal family. What do you see in an album? Pictures. Pictures. No wonder Paul referred to the scriptures as holy graphia. That means the scriptures are holy pictures. He said, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. From young age, he said. So Christianity is about the Father and his family. It's not about God and humans. It's about the Father and his family. It's not about God and humans. Did you get that? It's about the Father and his family. And every time you approach God, listen, this was the secret of Jesus. This was the secret. He knew God as Abba. Put up Matthew 7, start from verse 7 to 11 very quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ask. Ask. Not ask. All right. Ask. And it shall be given unto you. Seek. And you shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. What is certainty? Verse, the next verse. He said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. What is he saying? This is still a revelation of the Father's heart of God. That means if you come asking, you will receive. He says it though. He didn't say for everyone. For some of the people that ask, will receive. Everyone that ask, will receive. Certainty. For everyone, next verse, he says, or what man is there of you? He's getting serious now. Okay? Of whom his son will ask of bread and he'll give him stone. Next verse. Or if you ask him of fish, he'll give him serpent. Verse 11. If you then be natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven? Can you see? Jesus is the master's picture of God. Father, which is in heaven. Give good things to them that ask him. That's a revelation of the Father's heart of God. He gives. Father means source. Father actually means giver, protector, sustainer. As we talk about faith, that's the first picture I want you to hold in your mind. That you have a father. You have a responsible father. God does not job. Amen. God knows the job. Amen. No, he doesn't. It says all of God's promises in him are yea and amen. That means the coming of Jesus, the giving of Jesus is his eternal yes. Jesus is our eternal yes. Oh, Jesus is God's eternal yes. Jesus is God's eternal yes. Jesus is God's eternal yes. Amen and amen. He said, how much more? The Father which is in heaven, he will give good gifts to them who ask him. So he will give it just for asking. He will give it just for asking. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 15, 11 to 24, we'll not be able to read it, but just put verse, maybe from verse 20, just put it up. You know, that place is the perfect picture of the Father. Picture perfect of the Heavenly Father. Have you known God as your Father? Let me tell you something now. This knowing is not head knowing. It's knowing by revelation. And what it means is you consistently sit down to meditate on this reality until it dawns on your spirit that God is my Father. Until the spirit of adoption within you starts crying up a Father. So it's not enough to hear the message. You know, sometimes, you know what Christians do, and some preachers have not helped the matter. Important things, they're just okay, no, that's just by the side. No, it's not by the side. It's not by the side. You don't know it. It's not by the side. I told you yesterday that naturally, man's heart is aligned to works. That means if it doesn't look difficult, you don't believe it to produce. Do you understand? And I know preachers have capitalized on it. I know there are constraints of the anointing. There's a place of sacrifice. We talked about priesthood. But you see here, you must see those things as a response to the first movement initiated by the Father. That means your prayer is a response. I shared it earlier now. Okay? Your giving is a response. Melchizedek had blessed Abraham before he gave the tithe. It's a response. So when you talk about that miracles are done by the consciousness of the Father, a religious mind, an untrained mind, a natural human soul which is inclined to works cannot capture it in his mind. How do you say that? Okay, oh God, you are my Father, and miracles will happen. That's not what you're saying. We're saying you should sit down and arrive in light as far as the fatherhood of God is concerned. You will sit down until light from heaven breaks. Is that not what Jesus said? That was what Jesus said. Let me read the statement of Jesus to you. John 14. Give me John 14, 7 to 9. If I would just read 7 to 11 quickly. Thank you, Lord. He says, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. I'm from henceforth. My Father. You know, you hear Jesus say this, my Father. My Father. The Father. How many times do you think Jesus addressed God as God in his conversation? When he was using first person, what do you call it? When he was talking about himself, he addressed him as Father. Yes, most of the times. Look at this. You should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are a helper, a timeless helper. Thank you, sir. And Philip said unto him, it's a very funny conversation. You know, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I mean, you have not known the Father looking at me. And Philip said, sir, just help us. I imagine Philip to be that zealous fellow. Just help us. Just show us the Father finally. So that we can rest. I will be satisfied. You were talking about this Father thing. You are even telling us now that if, you are the representation of the Father. Cuckoo, just show us the Father. Amen. You know Nigerian English. Cuckoo. Cuckoo, just show us the Father. I think you understand. Just show us the Father. And Philip said unto him, show us the Father and we are fine. Next verse. Look at this. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not known me, Philip? He called this name. He that has seen me has seen the Father. That means he was the perfect representation of the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Next verse. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Can you see his consciousness? How many times has he called Father now? You should have lost count. He said, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Who is doing the miracles? Talk to me. Who did he say was doing the miracles? The Father that dwells in him. That means there was the consciousness of the Father he had that produced the miracles. So that's the first thing. Faith sees God as Father. Faith sees the Father heart of God. When you go to pray, that's what you see. You let the spirit of adoption cry, Abba, Father. Look now. When you go home, you read the whole thing. But just give me from verse 20. Just give me from verse 20. Luke 15. Masi patolako sichte brunda kisa matanahaya. Im sholo diga broke pososhoto. Verse 18. Verse 17. This is where I want to start from. You know, he had gone astray. He had taken a portion of his inheritance. Okay? And had gone and lived riotously. The Bible says riotous living. Have you heard that English before? That means he was living like riots. You understand? That's direct translation now. Riotous living. You carry women, you drink, you give people money to drink. Drink, there's money. Until the money finished. And after the money finished, the Bible says, no man give to him. Why? He gave to no man. And then he was hungry. He had to be eating pig's food. Amazing. How nice is pig's food? He was a rich kid, remember? This guy was a rich kid. We are rich kids, amen. Oh no, let that enter into someone. We are rich kids. Can I get an amen? We are rich kids. It will change your life forever. Let it enter. Okay. Some of you are privileged to be natural rich kids. It's wonderful. Your father can just give you money. You had cars. as a teenager you could access, you know, some of those things. Now, if you didn't have those natural advantages and you are now born again, you need to hear this. You're a rich kid too. Even if you are 40 years old, you are 50, you're a rich kid. Because God is the ancient of this. In his eyes, you are his kid. Amen. You're a rich kid. That will affect your life on the earth. All this, they mention something, is as though you can't afford it, you won't say it anymore. They mention things and your mind is closed. Let me tell you something. Poor people conclude, I can't afford it. Rich people, even if money has not come yet and they have sustained worldly thinking, they ask, how can I afford it? How can I afford it? And this thing is 20 million. Poor mind says, ah, no, it's not for people like this. 20 what? If you combine all my generations together, how much? 20, well, and then the guy goes. But see, as the word of God begins to open your mind, you ask, how can I get the 20 million? Are you blessed? How can I get the 20 million? You not close your mind anymore. How can I get the 20 million? That's a word for someone. So we are rich kids, amen. We are rich kids. Verse 17 now. It's good when I'm not rushing. You should just get blessed in different areas. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare? And I perish from hunger. Now, what I want you to see here is his turning point came when he remembered his father. Are you getting this? His turning point came. Now, if this guy wasn't sure that his father was a true father, he can't go back. If he came from a typical African father, amen, this thought will not cross his mind. I don't know if you understand that. I mean, your father has not died yet. I told you the African construct. You ask for an inheritance when your father has not died, you're a bastard. If by sore spot he gives it to you, you can't come back to the house again. Because in your heart, you have considered him dead. But the revelation of his father. He says, how many hired servants in my father? Number one, he saw that his father had enough. Even if it's a scrum, he'll be enough. Number two, he saw his father's heart. That his father has a forgiving heart. And when he came to himself, he said, all right, next verse, 18. That means, when you are going through challenging times, coming to yourself means recognizing God as Father. Did you get that? When you are running helter skelter, how do you do this? When you come to yourself, you begin to evaluate the fatherhood of God. That means that point, when you start evaluating the fatherhood of God in challenging times, means you have come to yourself. You have come back to your senses. Did you get that? He says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Revelation of the hired servants. I can't even digress there. Don't be a bond servant. Be a hired servant. As far as your work in the secular space is concerned. Let me leave you for another day. That means you may start out exchanging time for money. But the time should come where you exchange skill, for money. Do you understand? If you're a doctor, okay, they won't tell you anymore. Come at 8, leave at 5. We'll pay you 500,000 for a month. Mm-mm. You get to a point where it's okay, I'll do this for you. Okay, for example, if I see 10 patients, you give me 100,000. Do you understand? Did you hear what I said? The same thing with business or any service you render. So you have control over your time. That means if you can do your work between 8 and 12, you are done. You move on to serve God. Amen. All right. And he arose and came to his father. Did you just hear what I said? But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. That's the father's heart. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Who did the running again? Who did the running again? The father. He ran. He had been waiting. He ran. Fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And he said, I'm unworthy to. He was trying to rehearse the things he had said. Next verse. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe. What a way to begin a conversation with the son that took your money and squandered it and came back. Now, I know some of you, you tell yourself, hey, I'll tell my sons, I'm not prodigal father. I'm not that kind of father. You mess with me, I deal with you first. I'll still forgive you. Praise God. All right. But look at the first thing the father said. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Look at it. That robe is righteousness. The ring is authority. The signet ring. That means with that ring he can do anything. And then put shoes on his feet. Change his walk. Change his walk. Shoes is symbolic of destiny. Change his walk. Change his path. This is a revelation of the Father heart of God. Amen. God does not send anybody away. It doesn't matter how many people the person has killed. It doesn't matter how many people the person has slept with. How many abortions the person has done. As long as that fellow runs to the Father, he doesn't cast them away. His love is super sufficient. Why? He had always had goodwill toward man. Even before Jesus came, Jesus was just a manifestation of his goodwill. In fact, how can you say, you know, no, people had not believed, but he gave his son. What a faith. He believed in us. He believed in us. He believed in us. That's like saying, take this car, go and be driving it, and you have not paid the money. And be paying the money. Go and be driving it. You have not paid. They gave you, go and be driving it. You can pay later. Is that not amazing? So he put the ring in his... No, let's finish the reading. 22. But the father... Now look at the father's conversation with him. That thing you did, Shah, I was hurt too, but I'm forgiving you. That thing you did, I was not happy. But well, I'm your father now. What will somebody do? Can you throw away your blood? It does not sound like some African fathers. What will somebody do? Will you throw away your blood? Yeah, my blood. What will we do? Let's just stop. Welcome back. No. In fact, that kind of father will not run. Now, you heard the song. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. What's the second part? There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. There's no mountain sing, mountain, no mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Now, you see where this song came from. Who is doing the running after here? The Father. The Father. Amen. In our response to him, we can sing, I'll forever be chasing after you. But don't make, he shouldn't let you forget that the person who started the chasing is the Father. Never forget it. Tielozo said, I am more proud, or he says, I am, how did he put it? He said, I'm impressed by a man who confesses, or who is confident, who boasts of God's love for him, than a man who boasts of his love for God. That's TL talking. Abraham is the first one. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. We can love because he first loved us. That's the father heart of God. That means that thing you're coming to pray about, he did something about it before you came. Answer will be faster. The fatherhood of God. The father heart. The father heart. Don't let that natural alignment to works rob you of exploits. Father, I thank you. You've gone ahead. Father, I thank you. You have made a move, sir. I am coming to receive what you have moved about. Oh, Father, I thank you. You are chasing up. You've been chasing after me, and I'm responding, sir. I am here. Put your hand upon me. Father, I thank you for your love that is unconditional. I thank you, sir. For Christ is your eternal yes to me. I thank you. You will not turn me down. He said, whoever asks, receives. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. Whoever seeks, shall find. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. This is the place where 80% of your supplication is thanksgiving. I'm bringing the word to him as a priest. And that's what we call the oath of promise. You bring that word into the Holy of Holies, but with a posture of the heart that sees God as Father. With a posture of the heart that says that, look, God has given the eternal yes. I'm just showing up. I'm just showing up. And I'm staying here for light, because God responds in light. So the protractedness of prayer is not to convince God, but to posture our hearts to receive light. Did you get that? So what we talk about protracted prayer is not to impress God. No, it's because of the limitation of the soul. So we stay praying in tongues. We spend the time so that our soul can be stirred. He said, who is it that stirreth himself to lay hold on God? So that our souls can be stirred to receive the light from heaven. Because God responds in light. He speaks light. But we approach him, understanding that is Abba, the spirit of adoption, Christ, Abba Father. Christ, Abba Father. You now see why the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not because God is fighting it. It's the blindness of the eyes. The carnal mind cannot see God as Father. That is the root of that enmity in Romans 8. Did you see it now? Ahab was a very wicked man. After God gave a prophet what to go and give Ahab, when he was done, Ahab turned and said, Lord, have mercy on me now. And then God showed up and told the prophet, he said, have you seen our friend Ahab? He looks remorseful. Okay, go and tell him. For me, you know, that was the first part of the initial revelation of God as Father I had. Amazing. From Old Testament, I was studying first and said, I couldn't believe it. The first thing I said, God, you are this soft. That was years ago. He said, go and tell Ahab. The things I've said, because he's remorseful, they will not come to pass in his days. They will happen in the days of his soft. I said, God, you are this soft. And I began to understand the father heart of God. The father heart of God. Oh, Psalm 103. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lakabatosa. Are you blessed already? You know, I feel the anointing of God's spirit all over me. I have many things to say, but I may just stop here. I feel the anointing of God's spirit. Let's read the Father's response. We're in verse 22, right? Let's read it. Oh, look now. Luke 15. All right. Verse 22. Verse 22. But the father said unto him, bring, okay, the signet ring, and put on his feet. Next verse, 23. And the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. Next. 24. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to bedu. Showing a party for a crazy guy who just returned. Bible said there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know, sometimes you can just read it very fast and pass. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You think God loves outsiders than his children? Glory to God. This is the father heart of God. Psalm 103, very quickly. Psalm 103. We read tippity. I just want us to look at that scripture. It shows the heart of God towards us so passionately. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We'll read to verse 12. Just a moment. And I will pray. We'll read to verse 12 and I will pray. Can we read King James? Now, hold on. I want everybody to read. Is that okay? Everybody. I want you to read. Okay, participate. Read. We're talking about seeing God as Father. I want you to read this, okay? And have a connection with what you're reading. That's why I truly wish I can have my TPT up there. Amen. All right, one to go. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefit. Mm-hmm. Who forgives all thy iniquities, who healed all thy diseases, who redeemed thy soul, mm-hmm. who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Are you having connection? Don't rush. Read this verse again. Who satisfies, to chide means to speak angrily. All right, verse 11. Oh God. Verse 12. Do you believe that? That's the father heart of God. TBT, read it out for me.
With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the Holy God.
I need you to listen.
Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration.
You are my soul's celebration. That means, he commands you. Oh, I feel the anointing of God's Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thanks. Speak in tongues. That means he commands your highest emotions, your deepest emotions. I've told you, nothing on earth should command your deepest emotion like Yahweh. He said, you are my soul's celebration. You are my soul's celebration. Next.
How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness?
How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness?
You have done for me.
You have done for me.
You kissed my heart with forgiveness.
You kissed my heart with forgiveness.
In spite of all I have done.
In spite of all I have done.
You have healed me inside and out.
You've healed me inside and out.
From every disease.
From every disease.
You've rescued me from hell.
You've rescued me from hell.
And saved my life.
And saved my life.
You've crowned me with love and mercy.
You've crowned me with love and mercy.
You satisfy my every desire with good things.
How many desires? You've satisfied my every desire with good things. Continue.
You have supercharged my life.
Aya.
So that I can soar again.
Aya.
Like a flying eagle in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You're a God who makes things right.
You're a God who makes things right.
Giving justice to the defenseless.
Oh God.
You unveiled to Moses your plans and showed Israel's sons what you could do. Lord, you are so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it and so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. Verse 9. You don't look at us only to find our faults.
He's not looking at you to find faults. He said, you don't look at us only to find fault. Continue.
Just so that you can hold a grudge against us. You may discipline us for our many sins. But you never as much as we really deserve. Nor do you get even with us for what we have done. Higher than the highest heavens. That's how high your tender mercy extends. Greater than the grandeur of heaven. Above is the greatness of your loyal love.
Your loyal love.
Towering,
his love is loyal.
Towering over all who fear you and bow down before you.
12.
Farther than from a sunrise to a sunset. That's how far you have removed our guilt from us.
Rise to your feet. He says, you are my soul's celebration. I want, with minimal music, I want your soul to celebrate your father. I couldn't finish the teaching. I'll finish it tomorrow. I want your soul. Okay, no. I don't think if I have any session today. I know we're closing earlier. I want your soul to celebrate the King. You are my soul celebration. You are my soul celebration. You are my soul celebration. Can we sing that song very softly? Now, they will just sing it, and then we'll let our soul celebrate.
There's no shadow. You light up mountain, you climb up, coming after me.
I feel the anointing of God's Spirit. You just go ahead and celebrate Him. The worship team will sing it. Just celebrate His love. And his fatherhood. You can make melody in your heart to him.
There's no wall you won't kick.
There's no wall
coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up. No mountain coming after me.
Is that how you worship and celebrate Him? Hold on. What's your most sacred posture of love for the Lord? Now, in your secret place, what's your most precious posture when you want to demonstrate that He's your soul celebration? What's your posture? For some, it's closed eyes, lifted hands. For some, or what's one of your best postures? When you want Him to know how grateful you are. Or when you think about His mercy, His kindness. I don't think anybody's own is open eyes and rolling and looking at the screen and just saying like this, shadow you light up. I don't think so. If you are born again, except you are not born again. Now, I want you to express that celebration and worship in the best that you know, in your most sacred posture of love. Go ahead.
Oh, there's no shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming up to me. There's no wall you won't keep down. There's no shadow. There's no shadow.
What you need, I don't know what your desires are in this space. What those, what walking on water means to you in this stage, what miracle you need. But in the next 5 minutes, we're going to sing that song, and I want you to receive the miracle that you need, receive the impartation that you need, receive the shift that you need, receive what you need. Just see it dawn, okay? Just see it. Let the Lord show you the answers. I want you to do that. I mean, mighty testimonies are going to flow forth from this session. We'll sing that song just 3 to 5 minutes, but it's receiving time. As you sing, you just receive. You just, because you now see that your Father has given you an eternal yes. Go ahead and do that.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.